All right, listen up, Roto Grinders. It's the ownership report for week 11 in NFL DFS. My name is Chris Jamino, projected ownership analyst at Roto Grinders, and joining me to go over the projected popularity of players in week 11 is Dan Gasper, Mr. Tuttle 05 on the DFS sites. Tuttle, we're back again. Running backs are in style. Are you ready to talk about what feels like a sort of a more traditional structure on DraftKings in terms of the salary cap as compared to what we've seen probably for the last year and a half or so? Are you ready to break it down?
Yeah, for sure. It's we got the late news, well, semi-late week news that's really opened up RB value here. So it's an interesting slate in terms of, I'm guessing ownership will flock to those lower owned values, but we still have some pretty elite to high-end running back plays. So it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out.
Yeah, and again, I mentioned that DraftKings is, for the maybe the first time in a little while, a little bit different in terms of its flexibility to play high cost quarterbacks as compared to something like FanDuel, where you'll see on FanDuel the value plays of running backs are so good that you're getting to see a lot of ownership at the expense of tight ends, a lot of ownership at the expense of quarterbacks as compared to DraftKings, where you can see on my screen right now I wasn't even like really comfortable projecting Patrick Mahomes as the top guy. He just sort of landed there by default because really there's the salary structure is so good, you're not going to find any of these quarterbacks jumping off the page in terms of the number. Do you see it differently than I do?
No, I don't. And again, the RB value, which you mentioned, does open it up for Mahomes to be the highest owned quarterback. You know, earlier this season, it might have been a different story where we didn't have all that value, where we were kind of squeezing in more of the mid 6K range. So maybe it was somebody like Joe Burrow would have been chalkier on a different week. But because of things that have opened up, I agree. It's going to be spending up at the QB position, and Mahomes is that guy.
Now, I still have Burrow as the second highest owned guy right now. I don't think it's going to be a night and day difference between him and the next, five to eight guys. But, I don't even really think there's going to be that much of a difference between him and Mahomes, to be honest. I think it's going to be pretty jam-packed together this week without anyone getting into the 13, 14, 15% range. But, if there's an exception to that, it would be one of these cheap guys. But if you look at the options here on the cheap side, it's Tua, who's still coming back from injury. You've got Derek Carr, who no one ever wants to play. You've got Cam Newton, who's potentially playing an unknown number of snaps in this game. Like, we have it projected for pretty much most of the snaps right now, but if he ends up playing half the game, you're going to be screwed in tournaments. So, like, what are we doing with the cheap guys here at quarterback? Are you playing Joe Flacco? Like, how are we dealing with this?
I'm not playing Joe Flacco. Cam is definitely the most interesting to me ownership-wise. I'm not playing Cam. Basically the what you've heard out of Carolina is that he's not going to play 100% of the snaps. There's so much ambiguity as to, again, how many percentage it's going to be. Is he going to play 50% of the snaps? Is he going to play 90% of the snaps? He's quote unquote starting, but there's a huge range of outcomes there for Cam. And if I'm playing a quarterback, I want him in on 100% of the snaps. So yeah, I'm not playing Cam, but I'll be interested because projection systems, like you mentioned, ours, and I've looked elsewhere as well. Like, they're projecting Cam as one of the better point per dollar plays on DraftKings, and that theoretically will drive ownership up. So it'll be interesting to see where he lands. It's kind of the probably the top cheap quarterback option, but again, I'm not really interested in playing him.
We're on the bearish side for sure. We don't really have a big projection for PJ Walker either. I just think in general, I'm more bearish on Cam Newton than, it's not like he played horrible in the preseason, right? It's not like he lost a job to Mac Jones and it was a landslide. I mean, it was, they were tracking it in camp. They have a great beat writer there in New England, and Cam was actually playing fairly well. But I'm still, just compared to what he was in his career, in his past career, I mean, they have to actually be on the 5-yard line for him to have multiple opportunities, and they wake up with the best running back on earth in the backfield. I mean, how big can Cam Newton's upside really actually be? I know this is going to bite me right in the ass, like some of the takes I had last week, but man, Cam Newton scares the death, in tournaments. I don't see that being the absolute most optimal tournament play this week. Now, you look at the rest of these guys at the top, though, is there really an optimal tournament play this week, Tuttle? Or is it really more about roster construction in terms of how to select your quarterback and stack this week?
Probably more about lineup construction than advocating for one specifically really good play. More about just stacking. And using quarterbacks in that sense. There are some lower owned guys that I definitely think have some ceilings here. But I also think basically anybody after Mahomes is going to be fair game in terms of relatively low ownership. I'm not scared about any of these guys creeping up too high, except for possibly Mahomes. I could see Mahomes hitting the 20% mark in some smaller field stuff for sure.
So I think, you know, worth honorable mentions just before we move on, Dak Prescott against the Chiefs is certainly, you know, even without Amari Cooper, I still feel like that will be a reasonably popular option just because there just aren't that many options to go to, and that game environment will be highly targeted. Lamar Jackson, because of his sheer, perpetual upside for 35 plus fantasy points, should be in play, even though that matchup is bland, to say the least, against Chicago. So Josh Allen, I guess, is probably the last one to mention. He's expensive. Indianapolis is a very beatable defense. But again, at 8.1, do you find yourself attracted to Josh Allen in the cold this week?
I'm somewhat interested. Big thing going for Allen, we saw it last week when they were killing the Jets. He still came back in the fourth quarter, like midway through the fourth quarter when they're up 30 points or whatever. And we've seen it in the past and past seasons. When they're rolling, they're just going to keep rolling. They're not going to play too conservatively in terms of play calling, nor are they going to play too conservatively in terms of letting their players mostly finish out the game. So I like Allen. He would be my preferred spend up over Mahomes if I'm not playing Mahomes. I'd like him over Lamar, who's the other kind of similar option in that price range. I'm not really on Baltimore in this spot, but I mean, theoretically, that makes probably Lamar a decent option, because I do think he'll slip through the cracks as the lowest owned high end option. And we know what the ceiling is. If he gets there with his legs, like, the ceiling is massive for sure. But I'd prefer Allen over Lamar, but I certainly think there's a case for looking at Lamar in tournaments, especially if you want to stack him or even just riding him solo and trying to get there with his legs.
Yeah, agreed. So let's move on to the other positions where we can spend a little bit more time talking this week than the fairly flat projected owned quarterback position. The running back position is loaded with replacements, cheaply priced guys, I should say, that, you know, how about Jeff Wilson Jr.? You know, how about a suck out? Like, I've been calling this guy, he could be their RB1 even before these guys got hurt. And all of a sudden he gets there just based on sheer injury concerns. But Jeff Wilson Jr. against Jacksonville is certainly a spot people are going to gravitate to. Is he going to actually get ahead of Ingram and Dylan, who were the previously highest projected owned guys?
Maybe Ingram. I guess maybe Dylan too, just because the pricing comes into play a little bit here. I still think you're probably looking at these three the highest owned, which is what you have. I mean, the thing with Wilson too, I was hoping this news would break a little bit later in the week to drive ownership down possibly a little bit. But what, Jamichael Hasty's already announced out too, right? Hasty.
It's all him.
It's him and Sermon, who they hate.
Nope, yes. It's Debo. Forget Sermon.
I assume Sermon will be active and basically just not play like typical. They just don't like him. So yeah, like Jeff Wilson, and then he's 5K on FanDuel. It'll be interesting to see how much ownership he gathers on FanDuel. I think that's the spot where you could see him leap Dylan for sure, because there's a noticeable difference there, and because of the scoring differences between the sides. I would not be surprised if Wilson was the highest owned player on FanDuel, and man, he's a good play.
You know, Jacksonville, for whatever reason, the metrics don't point to them being just an absolute like pushover as a ground matchup. But San Francisco is maybe an exception to where we would even care about that sort of thing anyway. They're just so good at executing their run scheme that I'm not really ever worried about the matchup with them. They're going to run the ball come hell or high water. Okay, so Ingram against the Eagles certainly showed up as a receiver last week, showed up with a decent red zone role. Are we comfortable with Ingram at 5.4 here, running it back against the Eagles?
So pre-show, I asked you if we were projecting Clyde Edwards-Helaire out with our current Darrell Williams projection. And I was wondering, because I was wondering how he matched up to Mark Ingram, because I think Williams is an awesome play this week, and I like playing him over the chalkier Mark Ingram. I think if Clyde Edwards-Helaire is out, I think Williams outscores Mark Ingram. Engram kind of got there late last game, which whatever, four quarters, that's how fantasy football works. You get all four of them. But they do have some injury concerns, left tackle, right tackle, both out for New Orleans. I could see this being a spot where they really struggled to run the ball. So Engram is a guy, I kind of mentioned it last week. I don't mind fading him, and I don't mind fading him again this week, especially if he's going to come in as one of the three highest owned running backs on the slate.
I mean, there's going to be a huge amount of ownership in the 4.9 to 5.8 range on DraftKings specifically. When you take a look at, you know, I guess I'll count Michael Carter, Myles Gaskin amongst these guys at the top. Then you've got David Montgomery, who some systems like more than others. We don't particularly like the Bears this week in any stretch of the imagination, and certainly not against the Ravens here. Ravens defense certainly not what it has been in previous years, but bottom line, we don't love the Bears offense, right? So I think there could be some ownership here from some other people who like him a little bit better. But then, you know, Engram, Williams, Jeff Wilson, and then down here, all the way down to Dont'a Foreman, who's 4.9 against the Texans. I mean, one scenario is it's kind of spread out the way we have it. And another scenario is some of these guys end up getting overlooked by a lot, and you start to see huge pump on Dylan, Engram, Wilson, and the guys at the top. So how do you think it's more likely to play out? Do you think we're going to start to see some major concentration up here against the very best projected plays? Or are some of these guys, like you mentioned Williams, I mentioned Gaskin, Montgomery, are these guys going to suck up some of the ownership the way I have it?
No, I think it's going to be very heavily Gaskin, I can see, but I do think it's going to weight more heavily, top heavy than what we currently have. Like Dont'a Foreman getting 12%, I don't see that happening. Maybe on a different week. AP is still there, and he's going to be annoying and steal goal line touches. Like, that's the thing that's going to happen, even though he's much less explosive than Foreman. So yeah, like I could see Gaskin being the one that kind of gets some ownership, and Darrell Williams, if we hear about, I think we have to hear about Clyde Edwards-Helaire today, right? Because they have to activate him from IR, I think by 4 o'clock or whatever today. Yeah. So we'll know news on that, which could drive Williams' ownership up a tiny bit. But other than, I guess, the top three who we talked about, Dylan, Engram, and Wilson, I would guess we'll get some distribution on Williams and Gaskin, which would then leave perhaps James Conner as the sixth. We have James Conner currently projected at fourth. I could see him falling to the sixth highest owned potentially, but I don't feel all that strongly about it.
Yeah, but we've already mentioned 10 guys, and they're all mid-tier price. So clearly that's where the salary structure is going to lay. And I think it's just a matter of using some skill here to get these guys put in the right spots before we get to roster lock tomorrow. Okay, so at the higher end of things, there's really the ability to play maybe one of these guys in a lineup, but you're not going to get multiple. You're not going to see a lot of lineups with multiple guys at the high end. You'll see maybe McCaffrey, depending on what your projections are telling you about his quality of play here. How much do your projection source think Cam Newton's going to steal the touchdowns and siphon away some of that red zone role? How much do you think his limitations just from an injury standpoint are going to keep him off the field? He's getting huge target share. The way we haven't projected, people are going to want to own him, you know, somewhere in the mid-teens percentages. Jonathan Taylor is going to be left out in the cold. Dalvin Cook probably left out in the cold to some degree. I think if they're going to pay up, the next guy you probably get is Nick Chubb against the Lions. Tuttle, should they put leather helmets on to play this game? I mean, this is going to be two teams that are going to establish the run here, right?
Yeah, for sure. And the high end is just so interesting in general, because based on – so I was changing some stuff on our expert surveys today with the Jeff Wilson news, putting him as one of my optimal favorite value plays, that sort of thing. And if our expert surveys are any indication of ownership, Christian McCaffrey is going to be high owned, which we have projected. But that does surprise me a little bit. Obviously, great play. Heavily involved as a pass catcher, which is why he got there last week. Honestly, should have scored 40-plus DraftKings points last week. Didn't get it. But I do think it's pretty clear that if people are not playing one of the cheap running backs, McCaffrey's going to be the next guy that they spend on. So I think there is a pretty clear delineation of the high price guys in terms of who will be owned, which is basically just Christian McCaffrey, which then makes plays like you mentioned, Jonathan Taylor, 4% owned, Dalvin Cook, 7%. There were some other guys, DeAndre Swift, 5.2%.
Mixon.
I love Mixon, especially because I do think Burrow and the stat stack is going to be pretty heavily owned. So I do like Mixon significantly in tournaments. But yeah, you're going to – Zeke too, right? Like Zeke's an afterthought in the highest over-under game of the week. So yeah, it's kind of crazy some of the ownerships you can get on these high-end guys this week.
This is what happens when the salary cap is set really well by your gaming site, is you're going to have a lot of interesting things to consider because you can't have everything you want. You're going to have to make sacrifices. You're going to have to make salary considerations, and it's going to lead from a game theory perspective to a lot of similar types of roster construction. So I do think that something to keep in mind when you're building your teams is what percentage of your total team outlays are you going to delegate 2 and 3 mid-tier running backs. Those are the best plays, clearly, no debate there, but you're going to end up with similar roster construction. I mentioned projections. If you want to check out our projections, go ahead and sign up for RG Premium. Go to our website. There's a green link, clickable icon in the top right corner. Sign up for the projections and get all those in Lineup HQ, which is a fantastic way for you to be getting high quality lineups. And really, whether you're building one or a bunch of lineups, just tons of tools in there for you to get the job done. Roto-Grinders Premium, check it out. Let's go over to the wide receiver position title. This is a situation where, every single week, until he stops getting sort of unicorn target share projected to him or the price comes up to like 10K, and you're just going to see Devontae Adams as one of the highest owned guys. I don't think there's any reason to think he's not going to be owned again this week, right?
No, he no reason to think he's going to go under-owned. I mean, the only way, I guess, would be if we start seeing just mega chalk stacks with Kansas City and Dallas. And so we start getting like a CeeDee Lamb's ownership starts getting up there to take away from Devontae Adams, or Tyreek Hill just leaps him because people are stacking that game in general. I think that would be the only way he doesn't come across as the highest owned wide receiver on the slate. But I think the likeliest outcome is just he's going to be very heavily owned.
I mean, we haven't projected for just an insane double-digit target, double-digit number of targets and a 35% share. I don't think that's stupid. I think that's pretty much consistent with, many of the weeks that we've seen from him. The production hasn't been there lately. So if there's any reason to think people wouldn't be on it, it's because they're getting a little bit of gun-shy and you got some pivot options off of him, like Ja'Marr Chase, like Tyreek Hill, like Deebo Samuel, who just has been killing it this season. Like, there's definitely other ways to go aside from Devontae Adams. But I think if you're certainly if you're playing a cash game, you're probably going to go to him, right? Or I mean, I don't know, it's close, right? I mean, maybe Tyreek Hill's another guy here, right?
Yeah, I still think Devontae is the guy in cash. So the crazy thing, I don't think it's going to continue to happen. But you look at Tyreek Hill, he hasn't topped 100 yards since I think week 4, and he's only done it twice this season. The targets are still there though, which is the crazy thing. So like it's bound to happen with him. He's still seeing 10 plus targets in 5 of his last 6 games. He's going to get fed almost at the level that Adams is getting fed, to be honest. So it's interesting. Like Adams, yes, has the higher target share, but just once you include play volume in there, we're probably looking at similar output in terms of actual total number of targets for Adams and Hill. And Hill is obviously in the much better game environment. So like I don't think there's a reason to play Hill over Adams, but I love Hill this week, as does everybody else, rightfully so. And he's an excellent play.
Like, I want to be like in love with Joe Burrow this week. Like, I want to be in love with the Cincinnati Bengals as in general, but and that's how I projected it at first, right? Like, I go in there and I'm like, oh, my model says the yardage is too low, pump up the efficiency here. And then I go look at the prop and the prop is right back where the model said it should be. So it's like 270 yards or something like that. It's like not even that high for the Bengals in terms of their yardage. Ownership's going to definitely follow them. That's something that I'm pretty sure of at this point. T. Higgins, 5.4 on DraftKings, should be one of the most popular plays. There was a time where I was a little bit skeptical that people would go there because of the projection, but I don't think that's the case anymore. And I don't have to say much about Ja'Marr Chase. He's a certified stud.
Yeah, absolute stud. I will say on DraftKings, you're probably looking after Kansas City. Cincinnati is the next highest owned stack. just because of how the pricing works out. So I think it's a good spot for them. I think they're a good stack. I would not go looking at them if you're looking for a low owned stack, though, because they're not going to be low owned. People keep chasing T. Higgins because of the target share. I think he's an excellent play this week on DraftKings specifically. His price tag's not too bad, though, on FanDuel either at 6,300. Like, I think they're great plays. I think, yeah, they're good plays. It's a good spot, but I would not go there as a pivot off of Kansas City, just thinking that they're going to be relatively low owned, because they're not. It's going to be chalky.
Yeah, and that's the way I feel about it. I want to mention a bit of news that is getting pumped into my ear from producer Steven. It looks like there's some news out there that Lamar has been added to the injury list with an illness and is now questionable. I don't have the full details on this just yet, but that certainly, let's not overanalyze the news too much here, since we don't have the full details here. Presuming Lamar Jackson were to, for some reason, sit here, that would change the slate quite a bit, right? Wouldn't that pump one of those guys? I think it would be Huntley would be the starter. That would just be like a total slate changer. Just talk about that for a second. Am I giving you enough time to process that with 35 seconds notice?
The thing is, I don't think it would be a slate changer, because Lamar's already pretty low owned, right? I don't think people are going to jump to Huntley just because we have so much value elsewhere. Like, the running back value is so strong. I don't think we would see people jump to Huntley.
Well, it's an interesting note nonetheless. If we're talking about this is a show about ownership. If we do see projections that get up, you know, because he can run too, right? Huntley's a guy that could, certainly his projection could creep up there just based on his ground ability. That could certainly start to attract some ownership if the projections get up there. So that's something worth noting. It would certainly change the build of a Raven stack, and it would change roster construction because there's not too many cheap quarterbacks right now. And I think that even if he's not highly owned, he'll get more than he might have otherwise gotten just because of the landscape of the slate on DraftKings specifically. Okay.
Well, that would be a good way to open up the high priced running back builds too, if you wanted to. I would still bet money that the chalk builds would still be value running backs, kind of hammered in that 5 to 6K range, like we said. But that's your way, yeah, to get like the Joe Mixons of the world would be to play Tyler Huntley.
All right, tune into RG Alerts and stay focused on what's happening there with Lamar. It's an illness, so maybe he'll be good to go. He wasn't even on the injury report until today, but now listed questionable. We don't know if that's procedural or not. Okay, back to wide receiver ownership. Michael Gallup should be highly owned on DraftKings at 4.2, merely because we do not have Amari Cooper, and you can expect him to be out there garnering some percentage of the looks that he would have received. So at 4.2, are you going to put any trust and faith in Michael Gallup at ownership that should be creeping up there into the mid to high teens?
Yeah, he's just too cheap to not have exposure to on DraftKings. FanDuel, it's a little bit different of a story because of the softer pricing, right? So he's whatever on FanDuel. He's a fine play in general, but definitely more valuable for lineup construction on DraftKings specifically. I think he's a good play. Obviously, you have to increase his target share with Amari out. I thought he was a good play with Amari in, so that tells you what I think of him now. I will say I'm a little worried about – I was very, very high on CeeDee Lamb at the beginning of the week, and it'll be interesting to see how he operates now, because with Gallup back last week, he was pushed into the slot more often, just dominated from the slot. That's where he caught both of his touchdowns. And it'll be interesting to see where he lines up this week. It's Kansas City, whatever. I still think they're terrible defensively. I think CeeDee Lamb's still an excellent play. And I'll have plenty of exposure to CeeDee Lamb in tournaments, but I am interested to see kind of the allocation of where he lines up this week.
Yeah, and we think CeeDee Lamb, you know, his projection puts him up to the point where he'll be owned a little bit too here. But it does make sense that, you know, there's the productivity coming from the slot for CeeDee. I wouldn't factor it in too much. I think he's good enough to get it done wherever he lines up. But it's at the same time, it is worth noting that there could be a mix up in how the Dallas offense operates. It's one of the reasons why we'll talk about the low on picks segment a little bit later. There's definitely a play on Dallas that I am very, very keen on as a result of the way that the offense might change. Okay, let's get into some of these cheaper wide receivers here. You're
excited. It was the guy. Right? I was going to ask if he was if he's off the injury report or not.
Don't get excited. I'll tell you that. Let's talk about Hunter Renfrow. Okay, so he's one of the guys I wouldn't say dead wrong about, but he's definitely seen a slight uptick in target share where I didn't think that would be the case. Once the wide receiver dynamics changed there in Las Vegas, he is getting up there in price at 5.8, but the projection is following right alongside it. Is this a place where projection is telling us he's going to be more owned than he is, or is this really going to be where Renfrow is the most logical bring back in these Bengals stacks?
It'll be split between him and Waller in terms of bring backs, but Renfrow's been the better option, right? He's just dominating. So I think you'll probably see, like, maybe it's a tad high, but double digits I don't think is out of the question here for his ownership.
Yeah, and I think Cole Beasley is another important question to ask here because he's only 4.8, and with his projection, he should be appearing in Josh Allen stacks at the minimum because you're going to need to be completing a roster with somebody cheap. More often than not on the wide receiver side of things, I think he fits that mold pretty well. Is Beasley a guy that people are going to continue to look at here, or is his ownership going to sink just merely because they perceive him to have low upside?
I think it's going to sink, especially after last week. We didn't have information in that he was basically just not going to play, which is what happened. I believe he is off the injury report. I would have to double check that, but I believe it was did not practice to start, limited off the injury report. If he's a full go, yeah, he's a pretty strong play. If you want to do the hand in the dirt football guy, watch tape, watch film, takes, like, he's the type of guy that beats zone defense, which is what Indianapolis likes to play. So he's a guy that could definitely rack up receptions, but I do think he'll probably go lower owned. Just because of last week. And again, he is viewed mostly as a lower upside guy.
Jalen Waddle, I'm not really sure how we view him just yet. His career is still pretty young. He does tend to line up in the slot as well. He's not like a massive imposing figure out there as well. So at 5.6, pretty much the only game in town for the Dolphins right now. They got a bunch of jabronis running around out there with him right now. Is he going to be someone at 15% owned that you think can be used instead of Renfrow and Beasley on these teams that are going to need some savings?
Yeah, definitely. Another low ADAC guy. But it's kind of weird because you still view him a little bit differently than Beasley and Renfrow, right? Even though probably fairly similar ADOTs. I don't have them in front of me. But I think he's going to be a pretty popular stacking candidate with Tua if you're looking for salary savings. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But yeah, Waddle's a good play in this matchup for sure.
All right, so just a couple of names I want to rattle off here at the wide receiver position before we move on to tight end. Christian Kirk is going to see an elevated role probably with Kyler Murray, but we don't yet know who the quarterback is for Arizona. But at 5.7, he's also in that range. I think I'm getting a little bit of Tyler Lockett popping in here. I'm not so sure that's accurate. But he's also in the range that we were just talking about at 6,000. And if we're seeing a lot more, you know, a lot less of the stars and scrubs, a lot more of, you know, middle tier type of builds popping in there, you will see Tyler Lockett fit into, you know, builds a little bit nicer than some of these guys that are at the top and certainly some of the jabronis at the bottom. So is Tyler Lockett the kind of guy that can get ownership? And then ask the same question for Christian Kirk.
Yes, definitely to lock it. I think if we do not hear certainty about Kyler Murray before the game starts tomorrow, that's going to really drive Christian Kirk's ownership down. Because I don't even know, what is Colt McCoy going to be active? We don't know that either. So it's like, I don't think people are going to be itching to play a Chris Trevler, wide receiver. So I do not see Kirk climbing up in ownership unless we hear Kyler is for sure a full go tomorrow.
Not going to see a ton of ownership on, Stephon Diggs, CeeDee Lamb because of the price, you know, will get held back a little bit. And then I think that Deebo Samuel also because of the price won't get above 15%. It's close. You know, he's playing Jacksonville and he's a great play, huge projection for us right now. But I don't think those guys, again, you can't roster everybody, so you won't see those guys run out of control ownership-wise. And if you love them, I mean, absolutely play them. I don't really need to talk you into them. Same with DK Metcalf. Brandon Cooks, final note here. He's just 6K. He plays on the Texans, so it goes overlooked consistently. But I think he still does have upside here, right? I mean, the guy, you know, pretty consistently has above 5 targets and gives you a chance to produce.
Yeah, I mean, you said it well. He's got upside, but he's not fun to play at all. No. Like, he'll get those 14 target games like we saw last week. Has not been the most efficient. I think you want Tyrod Taylor throwing him the ball more than Davis Mills, even though Taylor did not look good his first week back. But yeah, Cooks is a fine tournament. And he's a guy that projections typically like, so he projects for higher ownership than what he typically sees. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was a little bit lower on than what we have him projected for here.
All right. As we talked about pre-show, getting into the tight ends, you know, I was projecting some tight ends that you wouldn't see on Thrive Fantasy very often. Now, why do I say that, Tuttle? Because Thrive Fantasy is a prop site. It's DFS with props. They assign a salary to, you know, the various props, you know, over and under, but they only do it for like 20 guys. And it's always, you know, guys that you actually give a rat's ass about. You're not going to see any of this Washington tight end over there on Thrive Fantasy. You know, we're really trying to make bets on the biggest and the baddest guys and guys you actually, you know, you don't have to spend all week researching. But if you can go ahead and make a team with 10 of those 20 props that they're going to set at Thrive Fantasy and basically make the best combination of those of anyone in the tournament, you're going to win some big, big prizes over there. You sign up for Thrive Fantasy, thrivefantasy.com, use the promo code Grinders and you get yourself a deposit bonus up to $250. It's definitely a more unique way to play daily fantasy, and you can go there and sign up and prop up today. Like I mentioned, you're going to see some pretty weird names at the tight end position that you might not be familiar with, like John Bates of the Washington football team, only because he's 2,500 and he's projected for a decent fantasy point total, somewhere around 7. It's not exciting, but we have to save money somewhere, right, Tuttle? How are you dealing with it on DraftKings where, you know, there's just not anybody that's really jumping off the screen at me as a cheap salary saver?
Yeah, I don't think there's anybody that jumps off the screen, but I do think there are a lot of options. So I think ownership will probably be a little bit spread out. I'm curious, and this is what we were talking about before the show, I'm curious if just not enough people know who the hell is John Bates is. And he ends up just not being played because of that. But like this tight end position in Washington has been pretty interchangeable. Ricky Seals-Jones has done nothing in his career and then came and filled in for Logan Thomas and was actually catching passes and scoring touchdowns. So I think from that aspect, you could argue he's a fine play. The matchup's obviously not the greatest against the strong Panthers defense. So I think in general, I think Bates will probably be lower owned than what projections tell us he should be, just because he's going to project as a decent play. But I don't know. I don't know how much exposure I'll have to him. Again, I think on paper he's a fine play, but I don't know how to feel about him. Tell me how to feel about him.
Our projection of 7 is fairly bullish. I mean, this is a young guy. Like, he could be out there blocking all game for all we know, and they could score no points against Carolina's relatively tough defense. So I'm not getting too excited about John Bates, but he is the minimum salary on a site where you need savings. You would go over to a site like FanDuel, he's going to be unowned because you don't need him. Now, Darren Waller is going to be really owned on FanDuel, a little bit less owned on DraftKings, but he should be popular as part of what I perceive to be a popular game stack with the Raiders and the Bengals. Dan Arnold just projects for enough target share. He's the only game in town, it seems like, on Jacksonville. You know, Marvin Jones among qualified, you know, 50% or more, of their, qualifying targets of 114, Marvin Jones is dead last in yards per route run. So, I mean, at this point in time, it's Dan Arnold or nothing. So he's going to probably get some ownership here. Travis Kelce, of course, is a big name. He'll track, and rightfully so, lots of ownership. Tell me, I don't really see where the exciting name is here on the DraftKings salary charts. Like, it's going to be spread out. And quite frankly, I don't think that's wrong.
Yeah, I don't think it's wrong. Waller would be the higher end guy, which is how we have it projected with projected ownership. A guy I could see getting a little steam here is Tyler Conklin. He's been good. He scored, was it 2 touchdowns last week? But he's been solid. Obviously not the greatest game, but it's a pretty low investment into that offense. So I could see him getting some ownership. Dalton Schultz, possibly, if people do the whole Amari Cooper's out, let's bump Schultz back up route, which, again, I don't think is necessarily wrong. He's not the best price tag in the world, but I could see Schultz potentially getting some ownership too, just by being part of the best game of the week.
You know, Gesicki could certainly be someone that jumps up a little bit higher than I have him, but he's 5,200. So that's, you know, that's part of the problem, is it's just hard to afford nice things when you have to make sacrifices somewhere. So that's why you're not going to see his ownership jump there. I mean, Gerald Everett, I mean, he looks like he's going to play. He's only 3,100. So maybe that's a guy people punt off with. Kittle 63, Andrews is 6K. Tough position. I've got a play that I think I could go way under the radar that has been getting a lot of share recently that I want to talk about in the low owned section. But unless you've got a really strong take on tight end, I think we're generally viewing this as either you take a stand on one of these really elite guys or you're probably spreading it out.
Yeah, I agree with that. I do think on FanDuel, again, softer pricing, you play one of the good guys pretty much in most of your lineups, which would, Waller's the one that's most easily accessible at his price point. But yeah, definitely pay up at tight end here on FanDuel.
For the defenses, I think the Browns are going to be owned on DraftKings, right? I mean, why not? I mean, you got Tim Boyle in there, quarterback for the Lions. I probably don't think Tim Boyle is as bad as everyone in the world thinks he is, but I don't think he's any good. So I think
it's probably not much of a downgrade either, right? From what we've seen.
Oh boy. Then now he's coming in hot on Jared Goff. I mean, the poor guy already had to move out of Los Angeles to Detroit. Shout out to Detroit, though. But, you know, I mean, clearly, you know, his Hollywood lifestyle has been interrupted. And now he's about to get rudely interrupted again when Tim Boyle potentially steals his job. That would be something. I don't think it's happening. What do you think about the Browns?
Yeah. They'll be owned. There wasn't like there's a lot of cheap defenses in the 2K range, which is, again, typically what we see people gravitate to. But none of them are like excellent options that we've seen in the past. They're just kind of okay, strong overall options, which would, again, be reason to drive Cleveland's ownership up at that $3,100 price tag.
Panthers will get ownership against Washington. No question about it at 2.7. Washington right back on the other side, though. They're cheap. So you mentioned not having a ton of the cheap defenses. I think they could end up getting looks because of their price tag on DraftKings. And the Ravens at 3.3. We might be overprojecting their fantasy points here a little bit. That remains to be seen when I dig into that a little bit. But if they are indeed as good of a play as everyone else sees it that way, they should get some ownership here. And anybody else that you would qualify as, hey, this team could actually jump up there and start to compete with the Browns and the Panthers for chalk? Because that's really what we're really trying to eye up here, is like who's going to be so owned that we don't want to, you know, follow that ownership in the volatile position of defense.
No, I don't think anybody else jumps up as chalk. I think there are some decent pivots, but I don't think anybody will get enough steam to where they'll compete to be chalky.
All right, Tuttle. Before we get into the low owned picks, I want to remind everyone to like and subscribe to this YouTube channel and to this podcast if you're listening on the RG podcast feed. Get all the great shows alerted and in your inbox you know, every time that we pump one out. We're doing it absolutely all the time. Please help us out, like and subscribe. You'll be helping yourself out in the process. Quarterback position, we're going to go over some low owned plays that we think could have a chance to be, I guess, giving us an edge in these larger field types of tournaments if we are looking to try to win more often than our fair share. Tuttle, when it comes to quarterback, who have you been looking at?
Man, I don't have any comforting options here in terms of like under the 5% range. I have some guys written down, but again, not the most comfortable feelings, but like a Ryan Tannehill, I think, is an interesting option. I wish the price tag was a little bit better on him, because I still think he would be low owned even if he was under the 6K mark. So 6,700 for him on DraftKings doesn't feel the best, but the matchup's obviously great. I've been preaching that they're going to throw the ball more as an offense because they kind of have to. And we saw a little bit of it last week. Marcus Johnson looked good. I think on FanDuel, you'll see AJ Brown be relatively chalky. So If you want to pair AJ Brown and Tannehill together there, I think that's fine. But again, not the most comfortable feeling in the world, but matchup driven, I think it's a fine play.
Yeah, I think Tannehill is the guy that I would lean to most. I guess most vigilantly here. I think if Kyler ends up in this game for Arizona, maybe Russ Wilson gets interesting in terms of, you know, some potential for a higher scoring contest. It hasn't really been the hallmark of the Seahawks to get up into shootouts this season, but we've seen it with Russ in the past, so I don't want to completely rule it out. And the one thing that he has going for him at all times is that just gorgeous deep ball. If he starts completing a couple of those, he could really force that game into an action-packed affair. Not going to be super high owned, so I think Russ and Tannehill are the two guys I would say make the most interesting lower owned guys. What about the running back position? I think there's a couple of guys here. Give me your favorite one.
Yeah, this is more fun because we can actually talk about good plays here that are going to be lower owned. We mentioned Mixon already. I do like him a lot, not just in terms of a play against a poor defense that struggles against the run, but also just because I think he's an awesome leverage option against Burrow in the passing attack. So Mixon, I think, is an excellent, excellent tournament option. We mentioned Zeke already too. I think he's another guy, again, highest total game on the board. And we're looking at around 5 to 10% ownership probably is where he settles in. So Zeke is the other guy. And there was one more not obvious one. I have Swift written down. I do want to see with Swift. I want to see if Jamal Williams is active or not. Because if he is, I'm not nearly as interested in Swift at this price point. But like Swift had, I think it was 33 carries last week. He ran so bad to have the other random backup running backs score touchdowns on like their, I think they had two touchdowns on like five combined carries. So Swift would be the other guy, even with Boyle under center, if Williams is out.
Elliott's the guy that I'm excited about there. He's the cowboy that I was referring to. I know you were probably hoping I would get into Cedric Wilson. But Zeke at 77.7. You look at the price range. The reason that I'm excited is because he's got that multi-touchdown upside, and he's surrounded by Chubb, Dalvin Cook, AJ Dillon. You know, on the lower side here, I just think that people are going to gravitate to McCaffrey and these guys up top here before they click on Elliott, and he's going to be under 6% for sure, probably under 5%, and that's just going to be a nice little tournament option with big time upside. Let's get to the wide receiver position. I think that on DraftKings, a little bit different than FanDuel, as you mentioned, I think AJ Brown's going to be probably under 10% here. I think there's a really good chance of that depending on the contest that you're playing in. And if AJ Brown is under 10% against the Texans, what universe am I in, Tuttle? What's going on? How has this come to be on my screen right now? Is this even remotely possible?
Yeah, because his pricing did get jacked up a little bit on DraftKings. He's easier to play on FanDuel, and as a result, you'll see him be relatively chalky there. But agree, again, Tannehill, AJ Brown stacks, like, why not?
Yeah, it's gonna cost you on DraftKings. Make your roster construction a little bit different, I think. So that could also be a little bit of a benefit. I don't think you have to double stack Tannehill and AJ Brown, right? I mean, I think you can probably get away if you're gonna take a second, and you might even take one of the backs. We're pretty involved in the passing game, but I don't know that I would be going back to Marcus Johnson, who you nailed last week, by the way.
Yeah, but I'll take that. He'll be on the field again, Marcus Johnson. I do not think you need to double stack. I think AJ Brown, like in optimal world for them, AJ Brown's going to see, and I'm not exaggerating here, 40%+ target share in an optimal game environment for them. If you're double stacking, why not do it with the guy that I've been wrong every single week so far, but Anthony Firkser, Jeff Swaim is now out. Like, it's his time to shine, Firk Daddy. It is Firk Daddy's time to shine finally, now that Swaim is done stealing all the targets. Swaim and him have been running similar route combinations or route numbers, but Swaim has just been easily the more heavily targeted of the two. So we're not at tight end yet, but if you're double stacking, just do it with Firk Daddy, man.
I think the number one reason not to double stack is because you just mentioned Firkser. Just right pencil in the touchdown for Michael Pruitt right now. Okay, give me a real play at wide receiver here, Tuttle. I mean, AJ Brown, I get it. That's pretty obvious. If he's going to be low owned, and certainly you want to gravitate towards him, but he's going to cost your roster construction wise. Do you have anybody who's not going to take your roster completely out of whack that we can play?
So of the high-end guys, I think you're looking at the Vikings here. Vikings options is lower owned guys. We've seen it so often though, but like, I don't think this Packers defense is that good. It's just their offense does a really good job at holding onto the ball and limiting the plays that the opposing offense gets against their defense. Like, I think Packers defense is much more middling than people seem to think. So play volume is a big concern here for Minnesota, just because the Green Bay plays at such a low pace. But if they're able to push the volume themselves to start the game, perhaps we see like a ceiling game out of their passing attack, in which I would like Thielen and Justin Jefferson. I don't think that's the likeliest outcome though, which makes Jefferson kind of a tough sell for me, because he is really expensive. And there are other strong candidates that can have ceiling games on the slate. So I went into the week thinking Jefferson was going to be like my favorite tournament option. And now I think he's an okay option, but I don't love it. If we're going like low priced, I will say, I think you want to take shots at this Kansas City secondary receiver, Byron Pringle. He's cheap. He's involved in the best game again on the slate. We've seen him kind of creeping up. He finally leaped Mecole Hardman in terms of routes run last week. Hardman has been playing just not very good at all. I will say the Chiefs are very they rotate the receiver rotation a decent amount. Like, it's very hard to track. So I wouldn't necessarily say just because it happened last week it's gonna happen this week. But Pringle, I think, has a high enough floor in terms of being on the field that I think he's not a candidate to get zero snaps. Josh Gordon, I think, is a candidate to get zero snaps. That's not going to happen with Byron Pringle. He'll be out there. So I do think Pringle is a decent lower owned option in that Kansas City Dallas game. I don't expect a ton of targets, but if he can get into that five range and get a touchdown, he pays off his price tag.
Is it time to pour one out for Mecole Hardman yet? I mean,
it is, yes.
Not going so well so far for Mr. Hardman in his career. We'll see if it turns around for him at some point. But I think I may be wrong on the call I made earlier this year that one of these games is going to have a big game. Hasn't happened yet. Who do you got? Okay, let me go first at tight end here, because I want to talk about – I was researching for the projections, and I noticed that Adam Trautman has a bizarre – percentage of the Saints targets without a lot of fantasy production in the last 3 weeks, 6, 7, and 6 targets respectively in the last couple of weeks. And obviously, you know, receiving touchdowns at 3,300 against the Eagles, who do tend to give up some space in the middle of the field here. If Trautman were able to actually convert any of this activity into a single touchdown at 3,300, I think you could be in business on DraftKings. And I think that makes a viable punt on a week where the salary matters. Do you have a better option at low ownership than Trautman?
I know why you wanted to go to first, because you wanted to steal him from me. You must have been reading the expert survey, contrarian plays, because I wrote Adam Trautman down. You outlined it well. I don't look too much into points against certain positions, but you mentioned it. Philadelphia's been bad against tight ends this season. They're allowing the most fantasy points per game to the tight end position. And on top of that, the target share has been there for Trautman, which is more important. He hasn't done a whole lot with it yardage wise. But, you know, again, he's the price range at the tight end position, where if he gets 6, 7 targets, that's awesome for his price. He's only 4,800 on FanDuel too. I was kind of looking at some builds with him there. Although, again, I think it's much more tough to justify going cheap at running or at tight end on FanDuel. But yeah, Trautman was one of the guys I had written down. I also had Firk Daddy, and Conklin was the more serious one, although I don't think Firk Daddy's like the worst play. But Conklin was the other guy. Again, I think he'll probably creep up a little bit ownership wise. But 3,900, he's shown himself to be a red zone threat. So Conklin would be the other guy that's currently projected under 5% that I think is a decent option.
You're loving this Kansas City Dallas game. I think that probably the lowest owned piece that has a chance to do well relative to position is Dalton Schultz. He's not going to be tremendously high owned relative to a lot of the other options in this game, and rightfully so. But I think if you're trying to make game stacks of this game, you know, pivoting off something a little bit more popular as a bring back than say CeeDee Lamb or Michael Gallup is, you know, bring back Kansas City with Dalton Schultz. And I think that, you know, again, that's obviously not a Travis Kelce team unless you're going two tight ends, but you're still giving yourself a chance here to get access to this game, especially the touchdown possibilities in this game with a player who's not going to be highly owned. That is going to do it for the Week 11 ownership report here on rotogrinders.com. For Dan Gasper, Mr. Title 5, I'm Chris Jamino. We'll be back again for Week 12 of the ownership report. Go win something.